Hi, this is Juanita Kamalo and welcome back to my podcast channel called Juanita's Trove. So today we have a really, really interesting guest in studio. His name is Sam. He is the founder of the 90 Day Movement. I know you're probably wondering what on earth the 90 Day Movement is. However, if you're a health fanatic and you live on Twitter, you surely would know. But nonetheless, he's here and he'll tell us more about it. In summary, Sam managed to lose 16 kilograms in about 4 months. Pretty insane, I know. And this is mainly through a diet, which comprises of minimal to almost no sugar. I know. The no sugar, two very, very controversial words. Nonetheless, let's find out more about this particular diet and how more about Sam and how he managed to do it, and of course weighing the pros and cons of it. And yes, hi Sam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. And yourself?
I'm awesome.
Why do you sound so formal? Are you shy, Sam?
I think I'm shy. You're making me shy,
Sam. No one's gonna bite you. This is just like a podcast recording. It's just you
okay,
and me.
Let me
you're
relax.
Not live. You're not live on air, and there's no callers that are gonna be calling in to like bombard you with questions.
Okay.
So be comfortable as you want to. I don't know. Lean back. Ask for a glass of wine, though. But be comfortable. We're just here to have fun, really.
Thank you. I'm much more relaxed now.
Are you? Man, I'm getting better at this. Nonetheless, Sam, who are you? Where do you come from? And tell us just a little bit about yourself. I mean, it's very, very important for us to understand who we're talking to and get a brief background.
Let me know another question, right? Who are you? So as you mentioned, my name is Sam. I come from a township in the east of Pretoria, Mamelodi. I'm currently a senior account exec at a software multinational company. I'm very passionate about God, people, and helping people to succeed. I think I just love seeing success all around me and seeing how I can help people to reach their goals. I think that's just the gist about who I am.
And tell us about your weight loss journey. And what is the 90 days? What happened?
Okay, that's two questions. So there's the journey and then there's the 90 day movement.
Well,
so
I think, let's start with the journey.
Yeah, so the journey goes quite back. I think I come from a family of religious dieters. We've been on every diet that you can imagine. 13 day diet, the military diet, keto, banting, you mentioned all of them. So we've been on all of the diets. And I think I've been plagued with weight issues since I think I was young. When I got to high school, I wanted to play for the first team soccer team. And I couldn't make it because I was a bit chubby. I don't think I was a bit, but I was very chubby. And I stopped eating pap for about a year. I lost a lot of weight. I didn't make the A team, bummer, but I did make the B team. I did make the B team, you know, but I lost a lot of weight, you know, and I think, my weight loss journey started from there where, you know, it was kind of yo-yo losing, gaining, losing and gaining and losing and gaining. And I think, the worst weight gain that I ever experienced was after I got married. I'm not blaming the wife, but I think she's a great cook. After I got married, I kind of ballooned, you know. I think I've never in my life weighed anything more than 90 kgs. It was when I was married that I weighed more than 90 kgs. I think my weight was floating between 100 and 105 kgs after I got married. And where the 90 day movement come from, I think I'll just touch a bit on that.
No, you haven't. You haven't delved deeper into it. You just told us about where you gained weight after post-marriage. Of course, you were comfortable. You had homey, hearty meals almost every day.
And I was happy. Probably, I think it's the happiness.
And you were happy a little bit, of course. So what happened after that and what led you to decide that you want to change and embark on a healthier journey?
Definitely. Okay. So I think there's a lot of things that happen, you know, that kind of makes people choose this lifestyle. And I think for me, I think the two events that I remember very well, the first event was when I tied my shoe, when I was tying my shoe and I bent over. And when I came back, I was huffing and puffing. because actually my stomach was standing in the way of me and my shoe, and I realized that I have to change. I didn't like the way that I looked. I didn't like that my energy level. I didn't like the weight that I had. It was not a normal weight for me. It was just a new reality, and I had to change. And I think the second event that happened, I saw someone on Twitter, a guy, you might know him, Michael Beach. He's 55 years old and he's ripped. I mean, when I looked at him, I'm like, this guy, he's like probably 7 years older than my dad, but I mean, he can run around
crazy
around, he can run around me rounds, and you know, kick my butt in the gym. You know, I made a decision from then, you know what, I want to be fit. I am going to lose this weight. This is the last straw that broke the camel's back. But it was a lot of events that led to that.
So how much weight did you lose?
Okay, on my first 90 days without sugar, I lost about 13 kgs.
That's a lot.
And then I embarked on my second one, which started in Jan, and I managed to lose 4 more kgs from there.
That's quite a lot.
Definitely.
So in total, we're looking at
16, 17.
That's a pretty big feat. Congratulations.
Yeah, I feel like a new person, eh?
I mean, I don't know the old Sam, so, but I mean, you do look amazing. You are, I believe even today, you're wearing a blazer, which has never been able to close before.
If only it was a video so that the viewers can, the listeners can see it.
Yeah,
I think it also touches on, you know, the weight loss journey is not only about the weight. There's so many benefits that comes with choosing to be healthy, you know. And I think one of the small wins that I really appreciate is being able to just fit in the clothes that never used to fit. You know, there were certain suits that I bought that I could not wear because of the weight. But right now, I was thinking of giving them away, but I'm not going to give them away anymore because they fit right now. So there's a lot of benefits to this lifestyle.
Okay. All right. Perfect. And how did you manage to lose the weight? Like, particularly, what changes did you make in your, I don't know, is it nutrition? Is it exercise? Can you tell us exactly what happened or what the process was?
Definitely. So I've been on a lot of diets, and almost all of them have failed. Let me not blame the diets. I think almost all of them, I have failed them because I didn't follow through with the plan. I think what was different in this particular process, and what made me commit to losing weight and staying and making the weight to stay off my body, was focusing on one habit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the 90 day movement and the 90 days without sugar is all about. Is, you know, when you realize that you've got a problem with weight, you need to lose all this weight. You need to, you know, get into shape, you know, and you start researching, or you start looking at fitness influencers such as yourself, you know, and other people, you know, and you're eating healthy, you're going to the gym at 5 a.m. in the morning every day, you're running marathons, you've got health like on the lockdown, right? And as a person coming from the outside, because I was a person coming from the outside trying to live healthy, right? There's so many habits, there's so many things that you can choose to do, right? And where I failed in the other diet is that I wanted to change too much too soon. You know, I wanted to go to the gym, I wanted to get my protein up, I wanted to get my greens up, I wanted to make sure that everything is perfect, and that is very overwhelming. So I think the process
I think it is overwhelming, because we tend to want fast results,
yes,
you know, and do things very quickly, you know, and we become overwhelmed,
yes,
by everything. But very, very good point that you touched on there.
People don't get overweight by one meal, right? And we expect one healthy meal to make us. I saw someone writing a tweet the other day saying that he did 4 sit-ups and he hasn't got his abs yet. Now, I know he was joking, but it's kind of the thinking that people have when they come into this lifestyle and say, you know what, I want to get quick results. So I think what really worked very nice with the 90 days without sugar is that we focus on one habit. You know, you can still eat whatever you want to eat, just make sure that it doesn't have sugar and it's not processed food. And I think that kind of helped me, because of once, you know, there's a book called The Power of a Habit, and it speaks about keystone habits. And what keystone habits are, it's a habit that you develop that can spill into other areas of your life.
So, quick one.
Yeah.
from what you tell me, basically, sugar's the enemy. So
sugar's not the only enemy. No, sugar's not the only enemy.
Can you? I mean, the diet says 90 days of no sugar. So clearly, it is a focal point, and it plays a huge role in your diet, and it changes a huge role in your weight loss journey. So, do you want to tell us? Let's talk about sugar. I want to touch on the topic of sugar.
Yes, yes. So,
why no sugar? And what makes sugar?
I think it's a personal one for me. So I was addicted to sugar. I had a sweet tooth of note, because I can't say I have, because it's in the past tense. So I had a sweet tooth of note. I mean, I could go without bread. I could go without French fries. I could go without junk food. I could go without alcohol. It's been like 10, 12 years without any alcohol. So any food stuff or any food item, I could quit. The only thing that had its grip on me personally was sugar. So when I began my weight loss, I was like, you know what? I'm going to challenge my biggest challenge, which is sugar. And that is where the 90 days without sugar challenge comes from. It's a challenge for people to go 90 days without sugar. But as you know, there's a lot of disadvantages about sugar. Sugar, you know, increases our insulin, which makes us to store the weight and store water. And that's why many people, it's not the only thing why many people gain the weight. Sugar is not good. Sugar does not have any nutritional value for our body. And you know this, you know, in your macros, there's no sugar there, right? Your body can
there is sugar. It's just healthy sugar. Yeah. We're talking about sugar from fruits, of course.
Definitely. So that's allowed. On the movement, that is allowed. We're talking about processed sugar. We're talking about white
100%.
Sugar. We're talking about donuts, chocolates, soda drinks, and starch, pies and bread, and you know, all the bad processed food. But I mean, I read an article the other day. It says that the average adult consumes about 80 kgs of sugar a year,
which is insane,
which is through foods and especially drinks, because if it's very easy to drink a lot of calories instead of eating it or eating them. So for me, I think for me it was my biggest challenge, and it proved to be actually the stumbling block that stood between me and my weight loss. And one of the other things that I want to just mention is that in the 1960s, when there was one American leader, he had a heart attack, and all the doctors, or most of the doctors in America, declared all fats bad, right? And there was a big, after 1960, 1970s, there was a big, so in the 1960s, one of the US leaders had a heart attack. And most of the doctors, you know, said it's cholesterol, high fats in his body. And fat became a swear word, right? Where we had the big no fat movement start off in the 1960s and obviously spread around the world. And what a lot of companies did, they took out the fats, even the good fats that we need as nutrition. They took out the good fats and they put sugar. So you find that sugar is in almost every type of food item you can think about.
That's true.
Yeah. So someone said that eating Old Bran, for an example, and it's a healthier version. But I asked them, check on the nutritional information tab. There is carbohydrates, and of all of them, most of them is sugar, processed sugar.
I mean, there are quite a lot of reasons why sugar is unhealthy. I mean, just to name a few elements to you guys, I mean, sugar can cause your glucose level to spike up, and which is not really good, and to spike up and plummet at the same time. It increases, of course, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. Your immune system can be affected. It can also have an effect on your chromium deficiency. Sugar levels accelerates aging. Causes tooth decay. I mean, we can go on and on and on.
I think one of the biggest, I think, revelation that came to me as I did my research on sugar was that your body does not need sugar. So we've been raised that if you're feeling a little bit down, right? If your energy is down, what do? Get an energy drink. Get a fizzy drink. Get a chocolate, right? So that you can spike up your energy. You know, so we've been taught that we need sugar for energy, and which is not true. I mean, our ancestors in the past never used to eat any processed sugar, and they hunted very well. they did their job very well. They carried heavier stuff than we have to carry. They traveled further than we have to travel on leg, and they were more fitter and healthier than we are, you know. So I think for me, the biggest thing came that, you know what, I think that realization, because of, I think it's in people's minds, right? Because we've been growing up with this thing that I need sugar for energy. So when I realized that actually there is nothing that is in sugar that my body needs, then for me, I think that just like the penny dropped, and I could go, 200 days without sugar.
So tell me, what happens after 90 days with no sugar?
That's like an awesome question, and I've got an email that answers that on the 90 day without sugar program. But I'll just touch on it.
We're not going to go through an email.
Maybe before I answer that, I need to answer why 90 days. You know, some person asked me, why 90 days? Why not 60? Why not 30? You know, why not 2 weeks?
Perfect. Go ahead.
You know, why choose 90? Why is just 90 like a number that you thought up? It's like, hey, this sounds cool. Let me choose 90. But the reason why I chose the 90 days is that before I started my 90 days without sugar, I was reading a lot of personal development books, and I learned about how to build a habit and turn that habit into a lifestyle, you know, and many researchers agree that it takes about 21 days to about 30 days to create a habit. So if you do an action every single day for 21 days or 30 days, it's going to become a habit, right?
Mm.
And from about 30 days to 66 days, if you continue with that habit, that habit will start to be established in your life. And if you carry on with that habit to the 90th day, that habit will officially become your lifestyle. And that is where we want to get. So we want to get people to start a healthy lifestyle. The 90 day sugar is not a quick fix. To dieting is not a quick fix solution, you know, to solving all the health issues, but it's a process. It's a methodology of saying, spend 90 days avoiding sugar and eating healthy so that health can become your lifestyle. But after 90 days, people can choose. So if for an example, for myself, my first 90 days, I did my first 90 days and I was not at my ideal weight. So I did a second lap. I called them a second lap. So I did another 90 days, which I just ended right last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I did 180 days without sugar. That's like a huge achievement for an ex-sugar addict like me. But after that, so after I finished my 180, I'm at my ideal weight. I don't want to lose weight anymore. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I just want to lose body fat. You can go back to your lifestyle, but we advise that at least make sure that 80% is healthy eating. You know, you don't have to be on a strict no sugar diet as you were on the 90 days. So it's more relaxed. So an example, my son's birthday on Sunday, and I had cake, you know, because of I've reached my ideal weight. You know, I'm not on the strict no sugar diet. So after the 90 days, you can live the way you want. But where we want to get people is to make healthy lifestyle. You know, it's not a one-time event. It's not a hit and a run where you do 2 weeks and you're done. But it's like, this is a lifetime commitment.
My biggest concern though is just that and I completely understand, I think it's fantastic, your initiative is very fantastic. My concern is just that people often don't do well with programs which are highly restrictive.
Yeah.
And I've seen that not just, I'm talking about friends, I'm talking about family, I'm talking to some of the people that I interact with online. You know, that yes, they'll go, they'll do it for about a week or two. However, after a certain time, that craving becomes so unbearable. Mm. And what normally happens is that they backtrack and they end up binging and overeating on that one and that very thing that they were supposed to avoid for a certain period of time. And then creeps in the cycle of guilt where they feel guilty. I shouldn't have had that. I shouldn't have had that. And essentially they start end up eating more of it because they're just like, you know what, I might as well just cheat because I really cheated. I might as well just continue, you know, and that for me creates a vicious circle of, guilt tripping, which often leads to a lot of people. It often leads to healthy eating disorders, you know, so I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sugar's not good for you, that we've completely understood processed sugar. For me, it's just that, like, for 90 days is a very long time, eh? And from my experience and from what I've witnessed around me, that a lot of times they will, to a certain extent, you know, indulge me now and again. and some of them backtrack, and it just creates cycles and things which we just do not want. So I don't know, that's my only reservation about it, that how do we, you know, it's a little bit, I find a little bit too restrictive.
Yeah.
However, I guess it goes from person to person.
Yes, yes.
And
your concerns are valid, right? Because I believe that there's two kinds of people. You know, there's people who are ready to just go into the deep end and start with the, you know, just go cold turkey on no sugar. You know, cut the sugar overnight. And there are people who are not ready, as you have mentioned. You know, they go for 2 weeks without the sugar and they can't stop it. And what I've learned on the program is that, you know what, for people like that, what I advise, that, you know what, if you can't go without sugar, or if your body is used to consuming sugar and you can't go without it, try to decrease and cut some things. So for an example, I was speaking to someone in the DMs the other day. I mean, they used to take 6 teaspoons of sugar in their coffee. And they said, Sam, you know what, I'm on the 90-day movement, but I love my coffee with sugar. But I used to take 6, now I'm taking 2. Hmm. Which is a huge improvement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that person, I told them that I'm very proud of you. You know, that step, like to decrease in terms of 4 teaspoons, as a huge step. So it's not only about going cold turkey. It's all about.
I mean, that's what it sounds like, though.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
When you say it's about a gradual behavior, it's a gradual pattern of behavior which, over time, eases you into developing healthier habits. That's a completely different tone and message which we are communicating. You know, if you say to me, hey Jay, stop eating like a chocolate every single day. Okay, cool. How about we go for like 4 in a week? And then the next week, boom, we've achieved 4 in a week. Okay, cool. How about we try 3? And then we go after, we try 2. And eventually 1, you know, and I guess if I stick to 1, only because, you know, at the end of the day, I believe that life is a little bit short and I shouldn't be depriving myself of everything. You know, like you said, now there are celebrations every now and again. You had your son's birthday and you indulged in a bit of cake, which you probably loved, and you were tasting, it tasted amazing. And you know,
I'm not sure about that anymore.
So, but what I mean is that like a progression of easing into a lifestyle. It's more of it's a different approach and mindset to,
definitely,
you know, saying completely remove this, because that sounds a little bit scary and daunting and overwhelming.
And I think what you mentioned now is very important, because it is a mindset change, right? And that is why on the program, so I don't leave people to their own devices on the program. When you join the 90 Day Without Sugar program, you sign up to receive emails, and I send out emails every week. You know, Sunday normally goes out at 6 p.m. Normally people get it before 7 p.m. And on the emails, I think the topic of the emails is all about helping people to change their minds when it comes to food. And we also mentioned that you know what? You don't have to go cold turkey. It's all about developing small habits. And if your small habit is decreasing from six to two, that's huge. If your small habit is you used to get home, lay on the couch and watch TV for 6 hours, and your small habit is coming back home, taking a walk, taking 10,000 steps, focus on that and work on top of that. I think that the most important thing that we're trying to communicate is build habits. The problem is not the weight. The problem is not the sugar. The problem is not the food. Mm-hmm. The problem is the habits that we have developed, the unhealthy.
That I'm completely pro.
Yes. Yes. Unhealthy habits. Mm-hmm. And that's what we discuss a lot on the emails. I think the emails, it's where I think the most of the value of the program comes from, because of, obviously all of this, I can't write on Twitter, 280 characters. I'll never be able to cover the subject matter at length, you know. So
I mean,
this is what we discuss on the emails.
It's been close to 25 minutes, so we kind of like don't have too much time before it sounds like a rant. But just a couple of, you know, more pertinent questions.
Yeah.
Tell me, how has this lifestyle affected your marriage? I mean, I've done research before and it was noted that a majority of times where there's one person in a relationship, when we meet and we meet on common ground and one develops and one decides one day, hey, I want to, you know, go be, I don't know, Usain Bolt and or Serena Williams and start, you know, eating a broccoli a day. Yeah. Of course, I'm joking. You know, it does affect like the home, and mainly from a household eating perspective, like who does the cooking now? How do you eat? You know, so for me, like, how does your partner support you in terms of the journey and in just in terms of like saying, hey, I'm not gonna, whoever cooks, I'm gonna cook two meals, for example. One which is Sam goal orientated and a meal which is family orientated, family desirability. And, you know,
I get your question.
Yeah. So how does that work? Cause I'm trying to understand realistically speaking, cause I'm single. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I don't have to worry about somebody else. Oh my gosh, what do they eat? What don't they eat? I don't have children. I have to worry about things like that. And, you know, what makes it even a little bit harder, I believe, for people that are in relationships or dating is that you also, and if you have children, you also need to consider the dietary requirements of the child as well. So realistically speaking, it can be a little bit tedious and it can be a bit expensive if you, you know, if you look at how much food you have to buy, or now you're having to do two grocery, you know, grab two grocery trolleys and you go grocery shopping. So just a matter of that, like, how does that affect it? And what advice, how do you practically advise people to transition through that period?
I think that's a very sensitive topic, right? Because of whenever you start a transformation journey, or whenever you start something new, you want the support of your loved ones, you want the support of your wife, your husband. And just to confess a bit here. So my wife, she went on a diet, I think, a year or two ago. You know, she came with the books, with the measuring tape, you know, she came with the product that, you know what, baby, we're going on this diet. Here's all the information and tools.
What diet was that, if I may ask?
I can't remember properly, but it was a...
Not a Banting, not an Atkins diet.
Something like that. I think it was probably Banting, but I'm not sure. Something like that. Because I was not interested.
Yes.
Right. At that time, for me, I had not made the decision to change. Right?
It always starts with you.
Yes. Which always is very important. So, I didn't support her, honestly speaking. I'm like, okay, I love that you're taking, you know, a step and a stand and you want to lose the weight, but please don't involve me and my son. This is your journey. You take it alone, right? You know, but it was easier for her to kind of cheat because she cooks. So she had to cook.
So she controlled.
Yeah, she controlled our diet. We were a bit healthier. But I think one thing I want to mention that even if you're in a relationship, you need to understand it's two people, right? And you know, I think it's Stephen Covey who says that the door of change can only be opened from the inside. Mm-hmm. You can't convince someone to change if they don't want to change, you know. So start my 90 day without sugar. Come to my wife and say, baby, I'm ready to lose weight. Let's go on the 90 day without sugar diet. And she looks at me and says, remember last year when I asked you to join me on my diet and you didn't? I'm like, oh, okay, sorry for that. And here's the thing. For the first 3 months, she did not join on the diet, right? And I did not pressure her. Well, maybe jokingly I did, but I did not pressure her, you know, to join me. So as you mentioned, you know, I asked for her support, and the support that I asked from her is to understand that sometimes we need to cook two meals, right? One for her and the son. And it's so funny because of my son eats whatever I eat. So whenever she would cook for the son, he would want to eat his plate because it didn't look like daddy's plate. So he would end up eating my greens and my healthy food.
Ah, daddy's boy.
So I think first of all, obviously, communicate with your partner. Communicate and let them know what you're expecting from them. Don't, if you're taking on a weight loss journey, don't try to recruit them, right? I think number one, let the results speak. Go on it alone, and once they see the results, they'll join. So now, like, she's joined 100%. She's the one that makes the meals. You know, she makes them very fancy. When I used to make my meal plans, it's functional, like A to B, you know. I don't need any style. I don't need any presentation. She makes, like, they look good, you know. They look wholesome. When I make them, you know, they look edible. So.
Do they look like those meals on Instagram that are curated?
Yeah, when she makes them. When I make them, they look like meals on Twitter.
What are you trying to say about Twitter? Peeps, Twitter, he's dissing you guys' level of content curation.
I think Twitter, we value words more than pictures, eh? So you can get away a lot with pictures.
And that's why I love Twitter. What you say, your mind is what matters more.
And I mean, communication. Communicate, tell them what you expect. You know, and don't, if your partner or if the person you're living with is not supporting you, still go at it. You know, don't try to force them, and I think try to reach a middle ground. And one of the things that worked out for me, or that I think helped me a lot, is try to involve them in the process, right? Like they, for example, they take your before picture, or they take your progress pictures, right? Mm-hmm. Try to make it fun. For example, I love running. My wife doesn't like running, but you know what? I would go to runs with her, but we would walk together, right? So we're spending time together. We're getting fit. So look for creative ways where you can incorporate the lifestyle that doesn't make it very intrusive, right? It doesn't make you say that you need to change. You know, you need to join me. You can't remain where you are. So I think very important, communication, expectation, and try to reach the middle ground. Try to compromise. You know, don't try to get your way every time. It won't work.
And then from a cost perspective?
Honestly speaking, I think from the diet and the meal plans that I had, it didn't hurt too much. We needed to add extra rands. It didn't hurt too much because, I mean, most of the foods that I eat, I would eat green salads or Greek salad. Mm-hmm. And we would eat that as a family, as a side in the olden times, you know. But now it would be like a meal. But I had to get my organic meats, which were a bit expensive. I had to get new grass-fed butter, which is more expensive than the normal butter. It does hit on the pocket a bit, but I mean, I was committed, and I communicated. I think we had agreed that this is the journey that I'm taking, and I'll probably need extra money. But for now, we have found a way to integrate that, and she's joined. I mean, she's not joined 100%, but she eats 80% of my meals, which is a win for me.
I think a partner which is highly supportive is key in every aspect of life, and to have the buy-in in such a very personal journey, it's something which is incredible. So thank you for sharing that, Sam.
Involve them in the way you be creative about it.
And I mean, as long as you don't impose someone to eat the broccoli a day.
please don't.
And we're running out of time, so I'm gonna kind of like cut short on one or two things. Can you give us 5 habits of highly successful people?
My favorite, when you speak 5. About habits, I love it, because of I think I speak more about habits than about weight loss.
Sam, you're deviating. 5 topics.
Okay. I think for me, I think the first habit is eating healthy. So eat healthy, eat clean. You know, there's 2 questions you need to ask about food. Is it from the ground? Does it have a mother? You know, and most processed food don't have a mother, and they're not from the ground. Eat healthy. I mean, you don't have to change and transform your whole diet. Just eat more greens, eat more fruits, you know, drink more water.
Okay.
I mean, lessen the coffee, lessen the fizzy drinks. I mean, it's small habits. You know, there's a saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. You know, we look at that and we laugh today because it seems like a proverb, but it's true. You know, if you eat healthy,
Sam, I'm gonna give you 60 seconds to do the habits.
Okay, the second habit.
I'm putting on my timer.
Okay, the second habit.
I need to put on my timer. I'm gonna put on a timer.
I promise I won't take more than 5 minutes. I'm not gonna explain anything.
No. I'm giving you 60 seconds. Boom.
Okay.
Go.
So the second habit is increasing your physical activity. Make sure that you're running or gymming or doing any physical activity. I think the third one is very important, managing stress. Stress is very important. People stress eat. People gain more weight when they're under stress.
And I think that's very important, because a lot of people tend to emotional eat.
Yes.
And it really is a reflection of our relationship with food at that point in time. Yeah. When you're sad, you eat. Happy, eat. Basically feeding just based on your feelings. And that's one of the main issues which prohibits us from reaching our fitness goals. But nonetheless.
And it also speaks to mental health, right? Taking care of your mental health. It's not only just about your body. It's also about taking mental health. For me, what helps me, I take every Thursday, I take social media breaks, just to get away from the notification and the need to
It does get a lot.
Sorry?
It does get a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. It is a lot. So, I mean, there's strategies you can manage stress. For me, running also helps. You know, taking time out, writing. I think the journaling your thoughts. There's a lot of ways where you can manage stress. But you need to have an outlet for your stress. Because stress is good, but too much of stress, as you know, leads to depression and other types of mental illnesses.
And point 4?
Number 4, maintaining good relationships. I think not only with your spouse. I think relationships determine how far we go, right?
Expand on that.
For an example, when I wanted to start...
In relating to our topic, of course.
When I wanted to start running, I joined the running club. So I have friends who are runners now. I have people on Twitter that we follow each other that are runners. We motivate each other, challenge each other on going to races. So it's all about saying, because if you want to change your habits or you want to change your lifestyle, there's certain people that need to get out of your life and there's certain people that need to come into your life.
So it's a matter of like surrounding yourself with people that have share a common goal and that you use as accountability buddies to help drive each other, help push each other.
That, you know, not only accountability buddies, but also accountability groups.
Hundreds.
You know, people that you follow on Twitter, you know, people that influence, speaks about mainly influence and the relationship that you allow yourself to be part of.
And the last point?
The last point, which I love, get your sleep, especially you.
Why are you calling me out? This is not about me. I don't know why you're being personal.
Yeah, I think we underplay how much the role that sleep has in our health. I mean, as much as your body is a machine, it needs to rest. And when you sleep and recuperate, that is actually part of exercising. Hey, someone actually said that part of exercising is also resting or sleeping. So you need to get your sleep. There's a study that they did on about, I think it's about like 20,000 women. It says that women that sleep for 6 hours and less, they struggle more with their weight issues. And people who sleep between 6 and 7 hours, I know it doesn't apply to everyone. It's just a study that they did isolation.
No, that is true. The amount of sleep you get does directly affect your diet. People that are more sleep deprived tend to weigh more and have more trouble losing weight compared to people who get adequate amount of rest, and even if they follow the same diet. And I mean, another benefit of sleep, I would say, it allows your muscles to recover.
Yes.
Muscle recovery is very important. It gives you the right amount of energy to be able to train and exercise efficiently the next day and have enough energy for the rest of the day to sustain your day-to-day activities as well. So
I
mean,
that is the habit that I'm working on. I know for me, I'm not getting enough sleep. So I need to push myself to get enough sleep. Because of it's really hampering, and you can actually see the effects, right, of you being cranky, you know, you being it's stress, you easily stress, easily irritable because you're not resting.
And I think for me, one of the ways in which lack of sleep has manifested itself is through, of course, you, like I said, you are more tired, you don't have as much energy, you're a little bit more stressed out. And me, when I'm stressed out, it affects your diet. It ultimately affects your diet. And for me, I realize that I tend to get nauseous. Mm. And then when I'm nauseous, I end up not eating. Yeah. And all I can do is consume like yogurt and like anything that's not a solid.
Yes.
And which is obviously anti my weight goal, which is to build muscle and to be bigger, be leaner, and so forth. So, I mean, that's just one way in which something as sleep, you know, filters right through into your stress levels, right through into your diet, and boom, directly impacts your weight loss goal, depending on whatever it is that is. So there are a lot of benefits to sleep, apart from just, you know, the get your 8 hours of rest. It affects diet and your body muscle recovery very, very quite a lot, actually.
And you train your body, right? It's a habit that you train your body. In your body, you know, our bodies, they get used to habits very quickly, right? I mean, if you're sleeping 5 hours, your body gets used to it. But if you just train it to sleep 7-6 hours, you'll get used to it. It's just a habit that you need to build.
And I think people are going to love this. Just as an FYI, did you know that? I love that. I should have a Did You Know segment in all my podcasts. That you actually produce the most growth hormone while you are sleeping. So this actually helps you burn fat as well as repair and build muscles. So you can increase your strength and lose weight. So if anything, that should be motivation for you to clock in that extra hour of sleep.
get off Twitter earlier.
I hope that's not for me.
That actually, I'm projecting, that was for me. Because the number one thing that makes me sleep late is Twitter. You know, I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. I'm like, Sam, 30 minutes time, you need to go to bed. Like, and it's up past 10 and I'm still on Twitter. You know, so, I mean, it's a simple, small habits like that. Small habits like switching off your phone or turning off your phone an hour before you go to bed, reading a physical book, you know, taking a hot shower, whatever works for you. And so getting into that routine of sleeping very well.
To kind of wrap up last question, how's the rest of 2019 looking? What are the plans?
Well, we've got a couple of things in the pipeline as the 90 Day Movement family. But I think one of the things that I want to mention that is very close to my heart is the Sunday health chats that we have started.
Oh, I love that, by the way.
We started in March. And I think one of the reasons why I started the Sunday health chat was that I was receiving information and kind of excuses. I'll call them excuses from people saying they're too busy to get healthy. You know, they don't have enough money to get healthy. They don't have enough knowledge to get healthy. You know, all these kinds of excuses. And what the Sunday health chat is supposed to do, we're sharing transformational stories from normal people. I mean, people who are busy in business, housewives, you know, busy moms, you know, people who thought that eating healthy was expensive. So the Sunday health chat that takes place on Twitter every Sunday from 7 to 8 is all about sharing stories and also building interaction between people who have gone through this journey and people who would like to know how to start the journey. I think for the 90 Day Movement, actually, our audience is for people who like to start the health journey, whether losing weight, whether starting to live healthy. So that is what I think. 2019, we want to be putting more effort on that, and we're going to be releasing a couple of more services and offerings. Just keep it locked on the 90 Day Movement hashtag. There's a lot of things coming out, but I think from me, the biggest Sunday health chat.
I mean, I'm very proud of what you're doing. You're doing quite a phenomenal job. I mean, I do, of course, follow you and quite a lot of the people that do the 90 Day
Movement.
You
follow me? That's amazing. I need to check that out.
Shut up, Sam. So, quite a few of the people that follow the 90 Day Movement, some of them are intertwined in the Bounce Back Withdraw. Yes. Program as well. So because they overlap, I see quite a lot of your content come through as well, which is phenomenal. I mean, I've seen some people tweet, you've managed to really help change people's lives, a few people. I mean, one of the ladies I'm looking at the present moment, her name's Ntabi Singh. She says that she's lost a whole 5.3 kilograms, all thanks to the 90 Day Movement family and support group. And that's just one, just in case, that I've seen amongst many. So I will definitely continue the work. And like I said, right now, it's not about the diet. It's not about the exercise. It's predominantly, it's a mental win. It's a mental battle. And once you change your habits, once you change your way of thinking, I promise everything will follow through. Nothing can stop. And of course, do what works for you, and there's no one thing formula that works for everybody.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's
so find what works for you. And if you feel that, like, you know what, you're going to be the 90 Day Movement with slight modifications, or you feel that, like, you know, do what works best for you to a point where you're able to, you know, latch onto the bigger rope. You get what I'm saying? So, and be slow, be patient in the journey. Like Sam says, I mean, I love sugar for, you know, and that's one of those. So I love sugar. I love my McFlurry or my piece of cake and whatnot. And life's too short. Enjoy your pleasantries. Once again, though, remember, you are working towards a goal. So 80-20, you know, try and at least ensure that 80% of the time you stick to the healthy eating and the good habits, and 20% try and dabble here and there, you know. So it's very important to remember that. So, Sam, thank you so much for coming. What's your Twitter handle in case people want to follow the 90 Day Movement?
So, all my pleasure. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate you helping us to spread the word about the movement. So, my Twitter handle is at Mohau Sam. So, that's at Mohau Sam, which is Sam. And if you want to follow the movement, you don't want to follow me, it's okay. We have got also a Twitter handle for the movement where the community convenes on a daily basis to just share their stories, share their challenges. And it's so funny that 80% of the things, the advices that come out of the movement, they're not from me, they're from the members, which is, I think it's so valuable. So the handle for the movement is at 9 without the 0. So it's at 9 and then the word movement.
Awesome. Thank you, Sam. I wish you all the best. I've got zero doubt that you're going to be successful and you're going to turn everything that you touch into gold. And I'm an avid fan. Yeah, and thank you. And until next time.
Awesome.
Bye.